All right. Welcome to another 42 minutes. Today is the 21st of August, 2012. And as always, we are here with you on Tuesday morning, myself, William Morgan, and Douglas Bowles. And today we are talking to Mr. Kotza, Jake Kotza. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing pretty good, pretty good. You know, I really just want to kind of ramble here for a second about something that happened to me. I was thinking about your video, Jesus, with J.C. Reilly on top of a roof yelling that he's Zeus. Remember? What movie is that from?
That is Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. Right, it's sort of a parody film of the Johnny Cash movie, you know, and sort of those kinds of movies, the up and coming singer songwriter films, you know, especially the Johnny Cash movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Right. The reason that I thought about that though is for some reason, I mean, I kind of associate King Kong as Zeus in a way. Do you know what I'm saying? And this whole John, what's his name? J.C. Reilly. His name, John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly, or J.C. Reilly, yeah.
He plays this, like, Wreck-It Ralph guy coming up here soon.
That's right. I'm looking at the poster right now.
Right. I was thinking about talking to you about this guy, and this poster dropped, like, yesterday, I think. It made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because I was already I mean, what do you think about that? Do you see the relationship?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. The idea that it's sort of a King Kong flavored game, and he's John C. Reilly doing, you know, standing on top of the roof yelling, and yeah, I like that connection. I like noticing, you know, we've got, he's sort of, the one of the posters that dropped for Wreck-It Ralph has sort of his silhouette coming out of bricks. It's like he smashed through a wall or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I see the Expendables poster, which is probably like the top movie right
shit.
Now. Expendables 2 is also like, you know, being like a figure two smashed through a wall. So I like there's a kind of a theme there of like things smashing through or a silhouette. Even the Batman poster, the Dark Knight poster is sort of like you're seeing from the bottom and the buildings are like a hole, you know, behind Batman with the wings. So there's sort of a theme of like, I don't know. Bit of a hole in reality.
Yeah, yeah. I see this Expendables because the Expendables is about to come out too.
Yeah, it's already out. Expendables 2 came out on Friday, last Friday.
That's interesting.
Which is sort of interesting because you got if you go to theaters now, you can see, you know, the Judge Dredd poster for the upcoming Judge Dredd film.
Right.
It's next month, later in September, and then you have the old Judge Dredd, you know, Sylvester Stallone. Who doesn't bad movies out all the time, you know? So you can sort of, in the one theater, they're right across from each other. So I'm looking at Judge Dredd and Judge Dredd, the new and the old Judge Dredd. So it's interesting.
Huh. You know, I was talking about this whole Rampage theme with Alan not too long ago as well. And because this whole Wreck-It Ralph is kind of like, he's like it's like a mixture between Donkey, because it's not really Donkey Kong. It's like Donkey Kong mixed with Rampage. But I was talking about Alan on Spider-Man, the new one. You've seen that, correct? I mean, of course you have.
Yeah, I saw it.
What do you think about the whole lizard on top of the Oz building? I mean, do you see the connection between the Oz and the Wiz and the whole Twin Tower? Connection.
Sure, sure. But, you know, it feels to me like that Kundalini thing. You know, you got your spine and then the serpent crawls up the spine and then enlightenment atop the tower, you know.
That, yes.
That's sort of the Caduceus symbol, you know. So it's a, you know, some reptile on top of a tower. Sounds like enlightenment to me, you know. So it's perfectly fitting.
Have you seen Tom or Timothy Green yet?
No. No, I haven't seen that one.
I was just...
But there's been a lot of green stuff. I've been seeing a lot of green sinks, you know.
Well, it's the plant. You were talking about the Kundalini energy and whatnot, but this is definitely like this Garden of Eden thing going on.
Mm-hmm. And the babies theme. You know, Timothy Green is like a baby being born to this family, like a plant baby or something. And then we have Bourne Legacy, which is one of the top films right now.
Oh, Bourne.
Bourne,
birth.
Yeah, like the word, yeah, birth. And The Campaign, which is all about Will Ferrell, you know, kissing and punching babies because they're politicians. So a lot of things resonating babies right now.
Dog Days. That's so funny to me. Hey, man, I got a question about Ted. What do you think about the Teddy Bear movie?
I liked it. I thought it was hilarious. Last thought.
As far as the word Ed goes, I keep seeing it over and over in relation. So, like, I was watching this Muppet movie. I'm thinking Muppets because Ted's a talking bear, I guess. But
yeah.
But Muppets in Space or something like that. And the guy who finally goes with the aliens, it freaked me out because he's like, what's your name? And he's like, my name is Ed. Just simply like Ed, that's all he said. But this whole ED, and somewhere along the line you said that that was symbolic of like the higher level or...
Well, it was very literal sync that me and Jim Saunders had where we were walking around.
Higher state.
Higher consciousness. We're like literally saying those words, and then at the same moment, this sweater, like a hoodie, just swims into front of us because we're walking it, like it's coming along on the pavement, and we look down at it, and it says Higher State 54. You know, so we're just like, oh, well, that's exactly what we just said. So we took it as a very literal meaning that Ed is something to do with the higher state, and you know, we connect it to like the word dead, and just the idea of your ego dying and then there's a higher state kind of thing. And sort of a connection between 42 and 50, 54. I like how these numbers, you know, they're like 23, significant number, 42 is a significant number, 54, and they like sort of come out in stages. So it just feels to me like Ed was like a new number after 42, you know?
Yeah. I was trying to explain that to my friend the other day. Basically, I was like, well, it's like you have like, I don't know about you, Jake, but there's different levels to this. You have like a personal thing. Certain syncs mean something personal to you.
Yeah.
But it's hard to explain to somebody like the significance of Ed or whatever. Because but it's not the same as 24. I got to tell you though, man, 24 and 42, I see it everywhere. It's goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's Zeus. Zeus is the king, so that really is the king of syncs for me as well, definitely.
I wonder what you think, though. I mean, I almost, like, put Jupiter, as far as, like, the planet or whatever, though, I believe that, I don't know how to put this. It's not reduced to Jupiter. Does that make any sense? Like, Jupiter is just part of the same symbolism.
I mean, it's just... self or other, you know, self, the being, joy, you know, it's just, you're trying to give a word to something that's beyond words, you know, the ultimate thing, you know, God or whatever, but not the concept, because you're trying to continually get away from the form level. So, you know, 42 and Jupiter and all that are just symbols surrounding God, which you try and point to, because the actual thing you can't say. You know, it's sort of that – so all the symbols are just pointing.
Right.
It's like the idea of a movie screen. You know, I read Ramana Maharshi sometimes, and it's interesting. He's this early
– Oh, wait, dude. Wait. I got to interrupt you for just a second, because you just gave me this mind bullet. You were talking about – it's like a hole, the Expendables and the Wreck-It Ralph hole. It's like a hole in the movie screen. It's like,
that's right. It's a Stargate, you know. It's like 9/11. It's like the event is creating a hole in space and time, or a way for you to perceive the self underneath reality that creates the whole reality. You know, that's what I mean by Stargate, and definitely those Wreck-It Ralph posters and Expendable posters are exactly what we're talking about.
Because that's the same thing that happened with the Emma Stone movie, right? The gangster, where they basically shoot right through the movie screen.
It's like the sync is coming, the movies are coming alive. And the people were saying that, you know, they were shooting, I mean, Batman, there's like shooting practically for 3 hours. But I mean, they're like... it was a scene where people were shooting when the shooter came in. So it's like
no,
the
I think
screen.
it. You know, I gave a lot of thought about this. I think that he started shooting on that first action scene. There's that first action scene where they're on the airplane, and I kind of pulled myself out of the movie, and I realized that was probably because they said it was only 15, 20 minutes in the movie. And it was probably definitely during an action scene. Do you know what I mean? But there's that scene where Bane's talking about no one will remember if I don't have my mask or something. I'm sorry. I say I hate to have the morbid feel to it, but it just made me think that was what that guy was listening to when he was standing in the corner. There had to be some kind of thing going on in his head where am I going to do this? Is this really going to happen? And then the words of what was going on in the movie is – it kind of I could see it propelling him that whole but to even be more morbid, God forgive me for saying this, what do you think about Tony Scott making a hole in the pavement?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I just know that he committed suicide jumping off a bridge. I didn't even know if he hit water or
no, he hit water. I was being
making a hole in the pavement.
That's pretty gruesome. I'm sorry, but I know that it just happened. I was wondering, because you're such a big film star. I mean, this guy's done a lot. A film, film fan, I know.
I mean, clearly it's a sign. And the idea that, he was jumping, always talking about jumping, and I was recently meditating on the fool jumping off the cliff, and we were in Leo, so there was this couple of days where I was just meditating and thinking about the leap from the lion's head in Indiana Jones, where
that he had to make a leap of faith.
He had to make a leap of faith, you know. So that theme has been going through my head and fits with, you know, this Leo phase that we're going through, and Virgo coming up, and you know, I haven't specifically thought of a sync for the Tony Scott thing, but I'm sure there's many. As far as jumping goes, and you know, falling off a bridge and that kind of thing, I'm sure it's going to pop any moment. Yeah, it's a big one.
All right. Let's think. You know what? I got to tell you on a personal level how influential your video, the Green Heart video.
Green Heart, yeah.
It hit me, man.
Cool.
It was just so long and in depth, and goes off on so many different tangents. What do you think this? I mean, you don't say it. You don't say it, but the ideas that I get from seeing the video is this Goblin King being synonymous with Christ, kind of.
Yeah. Well, that's just a cool sync as well. That wasn't one I was thinking of until I made the stuff and put it together, and it was just like very obvious and bright that the Goblin King, you know, David Bowie is Jesus, as well as the other guy who's in the same scene, William Dafoe, you know, in Last Temptation of Christ.
Right.
So they're both goblins, the one in the Labyrinth. David Bowie is the goblin in the Labyrinth, and William Dafoe is the Green Goblin in Spider-Man. So the idea that both these green men, and I'm trying to make the connection between Jesus and the Green Man, and both of them are actually not even just green men, they're the same, they're goblins, you know. It's just very neat, and that just came out naturally by putting the stuff together. I didn't think about that until I was like editing it, you know, and I was like, oh, I just put goblin in front of this and labyrinth in front of this, and they're both goblins. So it was like literally obvious. And
well, yeah, but it there's a couple more times where it hit too, though. I remember in the video where the whole goblin issue came up again. But I think that it was the most pronounced with me with the whole David Bowie and William Dafoe. I mean, then you have like
it's cool because the one is DB and the one is JC. You know,
yeah, that's
so you got the 42 and the initials, and just that interplay of how the initials signify what people resonate, and how. I'm kind of also in that video trying to say that JC is DB, you know, because Jesus Christ is always playing the same role as the DB or the 42, and that's the same story as Jesus,
Right.
Where Zeus is Jesus, or hey Zeus, Jesus, you know?
Right.
So DB equals JC, and I overtly put that in the video, trying to make that connection between the Green Man and Zeus and Jupiter, and, you know, how the loving heart. I'm just saying the heart chakra, the heart itself, you know,
right.
It resonates green, and that overflowing heart or the heart itself, you know, the self is Zeus, Jupiter, and all these things, and they're one and the same. So even though logically it sounds weird to say that, you know, Jesus is Jupiter, it's actually not. It makes complete sense.
Yeah,
you know? I think show that, you know, it just cuts through that separation that you make with your mind and just says, well, you know, it's clear.
I see it. Well,
but
okay.
I got,
because I think of the lizard, this whole, and it's weird because it's Oscorp again, and it's the
right.
lizard. They mix the lizard with Oscorp, but it's the same type of green goblin, you know, you get what I'm saying? Feel to it?
Yeah, totally. Oh, definitely.
And I like Franco, you know, because if you mix the Spider-Man movies together and you have Franco, what do you think of Franco being Oz? Are you expecting something big with this new Oz movie? I mean,
you know, I haven't really looked into it, but I'm sure. I mean, animation with big stars about Oz. I mean, how long has it been since,
right.
the first Wizard of Oz film? I mean, it'll be sink gold, I'm sure, you know.
Then 32, I think, is when Oz was made, something like that.
No.
Yeah.
29. No.
Well, yeah, you're talking around the Great Depression era, though, for sure.
I mean, Oz is the Wizard of Oz is such a staple for us, you know, with the themes it resonates and the amount of times we've used that one in sync videos and stuff like that. It's just amazing, you know, the rainbows and the animals. And
it's very high resonance, I guess you could say, is how I would.
And it just uses, like, themes that are easy to associate with, like, and are mythic, you know, the animals and the rainbows and
flying monkeys,
just these very alchemical, easy to recognize symbols. I was just thinking recently about how the lion and the Tin Man go together in other ways.
Oh,
with movies, like, because there's this thing about Terminator in Leo. We're now exiting Leo, but in Leo we have like Edward Furlong, Sam Worthington.
These are their birthdays, when they were born.
Yeah. So and these are all people who resonate or are the Tin Man, you know, in Terminator specifically. And James Cameron is born in Leo. So you can make this, you could like make a whole sync video and just show how, you know, all the major players in Terminator are Leos. And, you know, the Tin Man and the Lion go together in Wizard of Oz as well. So there's an interesting association there. And I always think about these things and how did like the tarot cards get associated with this number or that planet or that symbol, you know, all the stuff that's on an individual tarot card. And I think it's the same process that we're going through with these movies where you're like, oh, the Tin Man and the Lion go together. So if you ever like made a lion card or whatever, or these things just go together in your head. Sync is showing us how that process worked when the people came up with those associations, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the universe speaks of through itself, to itself. It's just, like, amazing, you know?
Yeah. I feel the same way. I feel the same way about the symbolism and everything. However, that would lead to the conspiratorial thought that it was put there because it's esoteric. I mean, can you talk about this whole confusion of esoteric meaning bad or brain?
Oh.
You know, brain. Yeah. That people associate the occult with mind control now, and in a way it is. I mean, symbols are mind control, but it's more of like the universe talking to us. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a confusion, as you say. It's definitely a confusion. It's the idea, again, of they're not recognizing that sync is not telling you anything about this, about the story or about the narrative. It's telling you about the screen, about the whole. That's the point of sync. It's trying to explain to you that there's this whole in your reality, or yourself, your essence, your heart, that transcends form. And there's this idea of getting stuck in, what is this trying to tell me about the world? What is this trying to tell me about something in form, something that I can put in my consciousness? The mind is really baffled by the idea that Sync is trying to point to an other, you know, something completely alien to the world, but essential to it, actually its source. You know, it's a higher spiritual understanding that Sync, it's like me and Jim were sitting by the river and the wind was rustling through the leaves and we had this really nice conversation where I had this powerful aha of how to like see and view Sync. You know, it's like you're seeing the rustling of the leaves, you know, and those are like Syncs coming up and they're all associated. And you're like, but there's a reason why these leaves are rustling. And it's got nothing to do with the tree. It's about the wind. There's a wind, there's spirit going through the tree, right? So the idea of Sync is the same. You're seeing the footprints of something from a higher dimension moving through our world. Now, the people who are into conspiracy and into wanting to use Sync to point out just another facet about the world is just misunderstanding. It's not trying to tell you about this world. It's trying to tell you about a higher world, about the whole, you know, the Stargate. So that's just confusion to me.
It's trying to tell you about the paranorman.
About the paranorman. Yeah.
The paranormal, like that's why Oz and say the Land of the Dead is associated, because, you know, other than conspiracy theory, the only one of the theories is that it comes from the dead or the Akashic record. Do you know what I mean? You feel that?
Yeah.
In a way, it's symbolically represented as that. How was Paranorman? Did you go and watch that?
I saw it yesterday. I didn't really like it as far as the film goes. You know, I just thought it had like the look, the cool look of movies that these filmmakers had made, like Coraline, but not the story and the characters and that real deep sense of myth that you get. I suppose that's Neil Gaiman's influence there. You know, he's just such a incredible storyteller, and all his, even though it's always like new and unique stories, they seem to be, you know, very much like mythic, you know, like resonating all the themes and stuff that ancient stories have and myths have and that kind of thing. Paranorman just seemed like, just okay, let's tell a story and just chug through it. And I don't know, I didn't feel it.
I wasn't feeling that.
No.
Are you excited about Skyfall at least?
I am. Have you seen the Aurora Sync in Skyfall?
Like, yeah, that was I haven't seen Skyfall, but somebody alerted me to that. Because at that time, I was talking to Lauren Coleman and stuff, and he put that up really quick. He saw that like the first minute he saw, because he's digging into this too. So,
yeah,
what do you think about that? I'm a little nervous because I got to tell you, this is the 23rd 007, and it has the same shoot 'em up constant feel as Dark Knight did, and I'm scared that somebody's going to try to repeat the thing. I know it's just fear, but it felt like the two movies were connected in some way.
They're connected, yeah. I don't know. Did you see Total Recall, the new one with Colin Farrell?
Not yet, but I knew it had something to do with it too, because of the whole padding down, the whole the X-ray machine that Arnold runs through. For some reason, because I knew Total Recall was like the next weekend, wasn't it? After Aurora?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how was that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Dates. Oh, my goodness. Don't ask me dates.
How was Total Recall, though?
I liked it. You know, it's silly and pointless, but in a great way. It's just like fun action sci-fi, you know, totally pointless. But just
what's
fun.
Its connection to the Aurora shooting, if one?
Well, the connection in my mind here is there's something in the film called the fall. It's the fall. It's basically a skyfall. It's like an elevator that takes you through the planet.
Oh, that's tight.
Okay. And on this skyfall, or the fall, they call it the fall, but
same thing.
Totally, it's same thing. He's reading 007, Colin Farrell.
Shut the front door. No.
So you watch the trailer, you know, and that's like one of the first things before the movie starts was the trailer for 007 Skyfall. And then the movie comes on and it's Colin Farrell like on a Skyfall reading 007. So I was like,
No, come on, man. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I just spent my whole fucking, not summer, I think that it was last winter, I went through a load of James Bond books because I'm a reader. So I just went through like a whole ton of them.
Yeah.
And so 007 had this mythology to me now. And
yeah,
all of the weird, because other people have pointed out weird sinks involving old 007 movies before, and it just seems like there's some a real good pull to this one. Like there's
this... I feel it too. It feels like a strong one, you know. There's like lots of interesting things swirling around it.
Yeah.
You know, just Daniel Craig, he's like with, there's like shots of him with like these neon dragons around him, and he's like in the girl with the dragon tattoo. So he's a really powerful 2012 resonator. And he's in one of the big 2012 movies, this 007 film.
I feel it.
It's going to be big. And Sam Mendes directing, which is interesting. You know, he's made some good films, so this could be an interesting one. And what was the other thing I was thinking about this movie? I don't know, I forget right now.
I hate to switch gears on you, but Compliance. Okay. Have you heard of this movie, Compliance?
Compliance. That sounds familiar, but I'd have to type it in here.
The movie posters on, it's about two posters down from Timothy Green. On,
okay.
And well, what about Sparkle? You have to have some opinion as far as Whitney Houston being in Sparkle.
Well, I mean, that's just another beautiful sync with... this is the kind of thing happens all the time where, you know, somebody like dies right after they've made a movie.
Right.
You know, this happened with Michael Jackson, and you know, it seems to be this thing where it's like, oh, I have a movie coming out that...
was it John Candy? John Candy did it, too. Of course, Heath Ledger did it in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's clearly like Entrainment, where it's like, you know...
The Crow, Brandon Lee, he did it, too.
Yeah. Well, I like the arc in the middle of Sparkle. That always stands out for me when I see the poster.
Right.
Sparkle.
Sparkly.
I wonder about embodying the archetypes. And so the actors are acting for us so we can see the archetypes play out. But I just wonder about the idea that the actors are actually dying for us, you know, on the screen and then off the screen. You know, how that is to wear that mask, and how do you separate your finite little creature self from the universal archetype? And it's just a thought I'm having.
Well, no one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. Yet it is the destination we all share. That's a quote by Steve Jobs.
Well, I think there was a quote from Jack Nicholson talking about Heath Ledger's death and saying, you know,
I warned him.
Yeah, that's a role that you have to be really careful with.
Mm.
You embody that type of archetype.
Well, have any of you ever seen Two Hands with Heath Ledger?
Two Hands? I know that there was some late night that I saw some Heath Ledger movie. I'm Googling this while I'm talking. But and it was the weirdest movie I'd ever seen. There was like vampires, and he was walking around with this real...
No.
Have you ever heard of this movie, Two Hands?
No. But, well, there's no vampires in Two Hands. I am watching a lot of that.
1999. What's Two Hands about?
Two Hands. I just remember that it's Heath Ledger getting involved in some shady criminal underdealings unwittingly or something. And then he just has to keep staying alive and saving the girl or whatever. But it's an Australian film, one of his early ones. And I remember when I saw it, it was either just before or just after 9/11, because I was living in a hostel in London. And they had like a VHS player and a TV set up high in the corner, so you had to like you know, twist your neck to see and like try and watch movies in there. So it's one of those movies that just stick out for me as one of the ones I saw around the World Trade Center disaster, you know. And it had all these William Blake quotes in it and stuff. So it was a very esoteric, strange bent to it. And it's one of Rose Byrne's early films as well. So I was just curious if anybody's ever seen that one, because it's really worth checking out if one's into Heath Ledger. Because it's a good film, too. I remember that. I mean, it was 10 years ago, but I really liked it.
Yeah, 99. It sounds like a very interesting little gig here. I think the one that I was thinking of was The Order, where he plays a young priest in Rome. That's weird. A lot of his stuff does have a very occult feel to it, though. The Knight's Tale and The Dark Knight, I think, is an interesting little tie-in.
Yeah, that's great. And just how he's like all that Illuminati, Freemasonic kind of stuff, and that Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. I mean, so
right,
overt and yeah.
It's very strange.
Speaking about film, how can you talk a little bit about the development of your own filmmaking, Jake? How you recently came out with a new sync video that the Web of Synchronicity, or what did you call that?
The Web of the Dark Knight.
The Web of the Dark Knight. It's kind of different than a lot of much different than a lot of your earlier videos.
Yeah.
Do you give much thought, or is it mostly intuition when you're kind of compelled to make a new video?
Yeah, it's really just intuition nowadays. Like, I didn't even intend to make that video. When The Dark Knight, when that whole thing happened, I was like, I'm not really going to write about it or think about it or, you know, do much with it. It's just such a kind of sinister feeling event. But then I was like, okay, well, the one thing I'm going to do, the one morning I just woke up, but I was like, I'm going to have a look at that Gangster Squad trailer, because I remember the theater shooting scene in there that just stuck out for me even before the theater shooting happened for real. You know, the Gangster Squad shooting scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched that. I'm like, I actually hope I don't see another sink in here, because then I'm probably going to feel compelled to do something about it. But I hope I don't. But obviously I'm just playing with myself. So I sit down and I watch it, and then I notice, okay, it's the girl from Spider-Man in there, you know, and then the whole video just popped into my head. I realized, okay, there's a web connection to Gangster Squad. Spider-Man is currently in films. The previous big event like this that resonates these same kinds of themes, the 9/11 incident, has a web connection, and I just sort of the whole video just kind of popped in there, and then just using the song in the way I did just was very personal and intuitive, because I just seen that same artist, Grimes, play in Winnipeg on The Dark Knight, what I considered The Dark Knight, because The Dark Knight film was released on the new moon, the day before the new moon, the day after the new moon, actually, but that same time period. So just the idea of The Dark Knight when there's no moon, then the movie comes out, and Grimes was singing this song, which has the words The Dark Knight in it. You know,
well, and the song is called Oblivion, too, which
the song
is one of those,
yeah.
It's a loaded word, because
yeah.
Like Nirvana, it has both sides of that coin of...
Totally. I mean, Oblivion is complete let go, and, you know, being destroyed, your limited self being destroyed is Oblivion, you know.
Right. Like death to the ego, but life to the self.
Having no attachment to anything is oblivion, you know. It being completely free is being completely destroyed, you know. Which is not at all like what the small mind thinks, you know.
Yeah.
It's complete freedom, you know, oblivion.
What are we looking at as far as time?
Like that video just, you know, it just came out and demanded to be made, because all the syncs were there and the song was there, and it's like everything just came together, and I made it like in 3 hours or something, you know, which is unheard of. Like could take me days to do the same thing.
Would you say that's been the case for your whole synchromistic career, that each time you do something, it's more of you're compelled, you don't, you know, it's almost like you don't have a choice. Here's what I have to do today.
Well, definitely when I'm making videos, you know, it definitely feels like a compulsion. Yeah, like you're being driven to do it, or let it already exist. Like the moment it real, if you really feel okay, this is good work that I'm doing, and you're feeling it, it's like it already exists, and now you're just sort of being dragged through the process, almost torturously, of like getting to it. And it's like that idea where, you know, was it Michelangelo who was talking about like his sculpture's already in the marble?
Yeah.
Like it already, it is, it, cause it's already there. It's like the create, the object is non-locally already there. Now you have to go through the process of realizing it. And you can just sort of feel that the sort of gravity dragging you through to, till like it's birthed, you know, and it's an interesting process to go through. Cause sometimes you'll just sort of sit around thinking, you know, I don't feel like I'm ever going to make anything again, or maybe I'm done, or something. And then, next thing you know, you're in this storm, just being dragged through this process again of, you know, bringing something into.
We'll talk a little bit about like the synchromistic community and the idea of synchromysticism and you know, the waves, lulls, and you know, a lot of frenetic activity, and then it kind of calms out, and then
yeah.
So how do you? So it's interesting because there's been a little bit of a discussion about the notion of synchromysticism. How are you with this term now? I mean, you kind of, you definitely coined it to point to the thing that we do.
Yeah.
And we've all had different relationships with the word through the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Where are you at with the term now?
I like it. You know, I keep you know, growing fond and then not liking it or whatever. But right now I like it. And, you know, I like how it's got the mysticism there, which is sort of implying, like a lot of people who are into it, I don't even feel like they're mystics, you know. So I'm like, why are you into something when you're not a mystic? You know, the word is sort of implying that there's something about a mystery here, you know, and something not rational or practical or logical, yeah. Something that transcends these things to begin with. And then, you know, these very sort of, I don't know, people who are attacking this, using synchronicity to sort of do something very much about form or the world, or there's just a resonance to some people's sync work that I don't associate with, or that I don't feel it is synchromysticism, for me at least, where it's about trying to show that there's a conspiracy, or you know, it's whatever it is, it's like you're trying to use sync to point at something in the world of form, and I'm like, that's just completely missing the point. You're like trying to use the leaves that are rustling in the tree to point at something creating the wind in the tree. And I'm like,
I like what you said earlier about wind is mind. If you flip the M, because I mean, there's that old Zen Buddhist thing where it's what's making the chimes? Is it the bell or the wind? And he goes, it's the mind that chimes.
Yeah. You know, and a mind that's like wind is like completely unattached. It's like it's not form. It's just flow, you know. And yet there's, like, how if a completely unattached mind, is there still a stable self that's not afraid or is happy or doesn't need any beliefs, you know, to survive or you don't have any crutches. You don't have any ground to stand on, yet you're completely free. How does that work? And that's sort of you have to see it to get it kind of thing, you know. But yeah, I like the word synchromysticism, and you know, I feel like, I mean, it's interesting when it gets to a point where a word has been taken up by so many people that there are different schools of synchromysticism or ways of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still, I mean, relatively speaking, a small community online, you know, in a way. But there's enough people out there for it to actually have different schools and interpretations and ways of looking at it. And it's really weird to have started something like that, coined a term, and then to see people use it in ways that I wouldn't even associate with, you know, at all. And that people, you know, they would think you're wrong, you know. It's like, oh, you came up with the word, but we don't agree with how you see it, you know, which is interesting. It's interesting. And I think it's valid. It's great that people have different takes on stuff, but it's fascinating to to see that kind of thing happen. But I mean, the sync community is interesting. It's continually evolving and changing. I feel like, you know, I'm always doing something else. I'm like kind of drifting away from blogging and writing in that sense. I'm more just sort of using Instagram to kind of document my day-to-day life, even like the minutiae of my life and that kind of thing, just sort of sharing the flow of being just existing. And I feel like it's an interactive documentary. Like the media keeps evolving to increasingly give us the capability to, like, you know, share our lives. So I just feel like I want to be involved in that, like, constant, like, little, just where I'm at, what I'm doing, you know, just sort of sharing your energy with people and having theirs affect you. So it's less for me right now about, you know, specific syncs and associations that wouldn't really have much of a relevance to anybody else except me, you know, because I feel like I was into this thing for quite a while where I was just like writing and writing and writing and watching movies daily about people's birthdays and associating with all these things happening in my life. And, you know, there's maybe 10 people who are interested. And I just feel like doing that right now. You know, I'd rather just enjoy myself and flow and be creative and just see where it goes. But I do think that, you know, videos and stuff are still going to pop out and that we're in a rapid flux period right now and that I don't know where this is going, you know, or what I will be involved in an hour from now or, you know, 2 days from now. Maybe nothing. Maybe something, you know, really new and great and intimately related to sync. I don't know. It's like I'm completely open to whatever happens, and I don't know what that's going to be. And I feel like that's a good way to be at this point. Like, I feel the more attached you are to concepts or ideas or how things should be going, you know, the more drag there's going to be as this thing spins faster and faster. You know, you want to be in that center of that wind. Otherwise, you're just going
to... A nice place to wrap it up. We're at 42 minutes. Is there anything you want to plug before we sign off, Jake?
No, I'm really happy with that. And, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. It's good to hear what you have to say. And so Will and I will join you all next week, and take care, everyone.
Watch the lair of the white worm.